Hey everyone, welcome back to the EJ. Chelsea here. Today's episode is going to lack a little luster because I actually am not on it. So Dr. Jason and Dr. Brandon are going to talk about headspace, something we so commonly hear about when in business or as an athlete or just in everyday life, how headspace can make or break you. So we're going to jump in, talk about that a little bit. Sorry that I'm missing this episode. I hope you guys can forgive me, but I look forward to jumping on the next one. So let's enjoy.
And let's EJ, gang. All right, everybody, welcome back to the EJ. We're here in 2021. By my side, I got Dr. B.
Yep.
We got Chelsea. Chelsea?
Oh, wait, she's getting her hair did.
Chelsea is not recording this week because she is in a hair appointment. And this is the only time we have because the week is packed with a lot of stuff to do because we're a company that's growing and going nuts. And so we had to record it. And so we are without Chelsea today.
She's getting a mohawk.
She was saying something about a crew cut or a buzz cut or something. So who knows? Her husband, Brian, will be super pumped.
Chelsea's going to regret this missing.
Yeah, that's right. We'll make it hurt a little bit. So anyway, today we're talking about and we've probably, I don't know how many times we can maybe listen back how many times we've said this, but I think one of the most popular thing that success coaches say, or people that do podcasts, or people that are mentors for people, is they listen to what someone's problems are. I can't make money. I can't lose weight. I can't be blah, blah, blah. And then the mentor or the coach says, well, that's between your ears. That's in your head. Man, that's all you got to get out of your own way, right? There's probably 50 other things we could talk about. So there's nothing that frustrates these people that are struggling more than someone saying it's in your head because they don't know what the fuck it means.
Yeah, it's an answer like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, like, how do I fix that? And sometimes, honestly, being on the other side of that, you don't know. Like, they have to figure a lot. There's some things you see, there's some patterns. We'll talk about those today. But a lot of it, that person has to figure out what's going to work for them. But today's show is what does it's all in your head mean, and how, what do we talk about that? So let's just rally off a couple of things. Like, so under the umbrella of it's between your ears, it's in your head, give me some things of what that's talking about.
So let's go first one. And I see this often, lack of confidence. Yep. Seems pretty obvious, pretty normal, but when I've seen people in this mode where they're like, I'm just not getting it. I don't know. When you say between my head, you can see that they're oozing like a doubt, a self-doubt. And there's just no confidence with them selling their product, their service, them leading their staff. The confidence is just not there. It's gone.
And anyone that's ever had to try to argue something, when you have no confidence in your stance or no knowledge of your stance, it comes across as weak, right? You start to look, these are people you see in their argument. They start to attack. They start to make up things. They start to call names. They start to bring up weird things that aren't relevant. It's because they don't know what they're talking about. So confidence comes from knowledge of your product. Confidence comes from and belief in our world, like in belief in the philosophy of what you do, right? In chiropractic, there's so many people that don't make it because they don't even really understand or believe in what chiropractic is. And when you go to these offices that are crushing it, right? All these million-dollar practices that we have in our company, all these docs have a couple things in common. Certainly their philosophy is spot on. They absolutely believe in what they do. And they know that the value they charge for their product is one of the best deals in the world. So they have no problem conveying that to people. So I think it's a lot about having confidence in who you are and what you do.
Jay, I remember this, boy, I'm gonna go way back. I was a sophomore in high school. And it's the first time I think this lesson hit me hard. My wrestling coach said, hey, I want you to come in tomorrow and give me some goals for your season. I'm a sophomore, you know, I'm like, whatever, 16
right.
years old. Like
party 15. This weekend, right? Yeah.
Right. So I come in and I'm like, I want to get this many takedowns and I want to, you know, have a winning record. And he grabbed my list and he threw it in the trash. And I'm like, I, for me to walk into his office was even a big deal. I was nervous. I was like, oh my gosh. And he just throws my list away. And he goes, I had one goal for you, living good. I still remember him, Coach Williams, mm-hmm. Butch Williams. Mm-hmm. He said, state championship. That's all you got to write down on your piece of paper. You don't need all this other bullshit that you put in. State championship. And I looked at him. I'm like, you think I can win the state, coach? He's like, yeah, I do. I already wrote it down for you, but I want to see what you wrote. And I did. I wrote it down, put it on my wall. End of the season that year, I was 49-0 state champ. But I needed to a check of like, I didn't even believe it myself. Some other coach saw it in me, but I needed to hear it. I needed to start to believe that that could happen to even get it into my mindset. And he saw it at that age when I was a 16-year-old to start to teach me that. So I think this is the first time I've ever experienced that, and now many times since, but confidence.
I think sometimes people have to believe in you at a higher level than even you do yourself. And you're like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
So then you see what's possible, you know, and you're thinking small goals because you're thinking that person would be offended if you're like, I want to win, you know, this or an Olympic gold medal, or I want to what D1 full ride or whatever. Like, and they want you to think these things. Then of course, all those little things have to happen, right? All the things that you listed, the workouts and all this academics that has to go along with it. But anyway, I think another aspect of confidence is confidence in just in yourself and your appearance. And especially if you're going to be in front of people or you're going on stage or, you know, sales or whatever, is having a belief in yourself. So if you're feeling like you're not your best, you're not taking care of yourself, you know, you're not feeling confident in what you're wearing, what you look like, all of that stuff. I mean, you got to learn to love yourself a little bit so you're going to actually have confidence to be in front of people and not give a shit what people think, because you know you are the best version of yourself. So I think a lot of people hate public speaking because they're afraid people are going to judge them nonstop on stage. Oh, they said that. Did you hear that? Oh my God, what are they wearing? Oh, well, they're overweight. They're small, they're big, they're whatever. And so I think when you're thinking about that, you're also not thinking about what you're trying to get across, which in sales is your product. So I think you also have to find that belief and love in yourself to make sure that you feel good when you're heading out your door.
Right.
Let's go to the next one. So I have written down here, so old patterns. Old patterns could probably be an entire podcast, if not a book. You know, the shit that has been built into your head over your lifetime is in some ways so positive, right? And so it kind of depends what your upbringing was, but we see so many negative things that are in people's head. Let's talk about one aspect, which is wealth. Okay, so it's too expensive. We can't afford that. We're not trying to feed the neighborhood.
Money doesn't grow on trees.
Yeah, all that stuff that you hear, and it's such a broke mindset. And while money doesn't literally grow on trees, you can create as much wealth as you possibly need. So in essence, it kind of does. And really money grows, it is trees, right? It's fucking paper.
Wait a minute. Even
at its core, there's some truth to that. But people buy into that. And I don't think people way underestimate how powerful that is in their life when they've been told 6,000 times as a toddler and then an adolescent, then a teenager, like, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. You can't afford that. You can't have both. You can't have both. Well, you know, one or the other, one or the other. Don't feed the neighborhood. We can't afford to have people over. We can't afford that place. You know, and when little kids are like, look at that Lamborghini and look at that Porsche and look at that house and check out that yacht. And, you know, parents put into them like, well, that's not for us.
Right.
That's for them. That's for other people. And, you know, whether or not you kind of realize or not, but subconsciously that starts to be stored, and you're going to come back and pull that out later in life of, I can't afford that. That's not for me. So what the hell do people do to reprogram their brain not to think that?
I remember the first time I realized this about myself. This goes back to Millionaire Mindset days. The book you and Jay talk about all the time. Yeah. T. Harv Eker, Millionaire Mindset. Yep. Where he talks about this. And I remember reading it and being like, what a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have those mindsets. That's not me. I want to be wealthy. I didn't realize how much I did. I can hear my mom saying, and God bless her. I love her. She raised my brother and I very well.
Yeah.
So did my dad. But they said that kind of stuff. Like, oh, well, that's those rich people have that new car. And I didn't realize how ingrained that had been in me. So just, I think the first thing is to recognize that those patterns are there.
Yep.
To even know you have them.
Yep.
I didn't realize I needed to work on them because I didn't think I had them.
Yep.
I had them just as bad as anyone else. Still working on them sometimes.
Everyone does.
Right.
I mean, I think everyone is.
So the recognition, I guess, is the first step for that.
And I think when you recognize it, and sometimes when you say it, it's not, you don't have time to address it right then, but make a mental note in your phone or a note, would write it down, or mental memory or whatever you want to do. But just like, I just told, you know, these people, we can't afford that. All right. And maybe literally you don't have the money to get it, but that's different than saying, oh, we'll get that. Right. But just not today. Like, we're going to work towards it. And if that's our goal, then we'll make that house happen or whatever. But that's different than like, we can't afford that, because that's a never. Like, we're not getting that because that's not for us. That's for other people. The other people have that. Other people build million-dollar practices. Other people have vacation homes. Other people fly jets. You know, other people buy a brand new Porsche. Whatever it is in your world, you've got to realize when you say it, I think you're spot on. Recognition of that is the first thing. And really, it was important. I want everyone to take note of, because you said, I don't have that. That's not me. Oh my God, I would hate to have that. And then all of a sudden you're like, shit, like I just said that. That is me. It's so many of you. So many of you right now need to go through and just realize some old patterns that have been established. And it could be from your parents. It could be from a teacher, a coach, a mentor, a pastor, a best friend, you know, a sibling, that all of a sudden you have these and you've caught that disease of I can't, or an excuse of why you can't. And you got to get rid of that shit before it just drowns you.
Jay, recently at one of our tribe meetings we just had, where we get together with our whole company, I had this exact discussion with one of our doctors. And, I won't mention him. I don't want to pick on him. He was one of my best friends. But we had to go down to the mall quick. I said, hey, man, I got to run down and get a shirt for tonight for dinner. I didn't realize I didn't pack enough stuff. He's like, I'll go with you. I want to pick up some jeans. I'm like, yeah, let's do it, man. Mm-hmm. So we run down to Nordstrom's down the street in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we jump in. And he like goes over and is checking out some jeans in the corner. I don't even remember the brand, but they're like on the sale rack. Mm-hmm. And they're jeans. Mm-hmm. They're denim. They look fine, but they're rough. They're hot. I don't know. Just cheap.
Right.
I said, hey, man, come over here. I want to show you these ones over here. They're called Joe's jeans. You guys probably know Joe's. I have a bunch of Joe's. They're stretchy. They're smooth, silky. But they're like $200 a pair, man. But they're sweet. They're some of my favorite jeans. I said, try a pair of these on. And he does, and he loves them. And he flips them around at the price tag. And he falls over. He's like, holy shit, $200 for a pair of jeans. You couldn't believe it.
Yep.
And he ended up getting another pair or whatever. But later on, I talked to him that night, and I told him the stuff we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of knew that, man, and I wasn't trying to mess with you, but I wanted to test you a little to see. And your reaction was exactly what I was expecting. You couldn't believe that.
Yep.
But it cost that. But I said, down the road, those jeans will last you forever. You'll love them. People will comment. You commented on a pair of mine that I was wearing, in fact.
Yep.
And he kind of got what we're saying.
He thought your butt looked good in them.
He did. Yep. Well, that's a given. but he got what I was explaining. I think he understood what I was saying. I'm like, dude, it ain't about the jeans. It ain't about the car, all that stuff. But just the fact that you could go get those, you want to go get those, how you would feel, look, react in those jeans. I don't care if they're $200.
Yeah. And here's the key point here too. Cause I mean, it's such an eye-opening experience, and there's so many, but even in Nordstrom's, right? I mean, you can go and there's shirts that are $450 and there's, you know, sales racks and things like that. So the thing is, if you shop, and this is literally how I shop, I'll go in. I don't look at the price. I could care less. If I like something and I try it on and it works, then I'm going to buy it. Now, being honest, full disclosure, there's times where I'm like, oh, I love this. It fits really good. How much is it? $1,400. Like, no, I'm not paying $1,400 for a fucking, you know, shirt, because that's not that important to me. But I never would put something back of like, ooh, $200 or ooh, $250 or whatever.
Right.
However, what people don't want to do is go and look at the price tag for things and then trick yourself into liking that because it's expensive.
Yes.
Because then you're trying to be what people, you know, you think they want to see, which is, you know, success. He has this, he has that. That's pricey jeans and stuff, which it was stupid. So, but you want to get to a point where if you can't walk into a store and pretty much choose based upon comfort, look, things you love, then you need to ask yourself why. Like, why are you shopping based upon what's cheap? Mm-hmm. And that's not the best way to go. Cheaper is not better, for sure.
Okay, so I got another one. Okay. Another one will take a different direction on Headspace that I've seen often, definitely battled with myself from time to time.
Yep.
A lack of gratitude. This is something I think is huge, where people just aren't even appreciative of what's going on in their current situation, that there's almost this roadblock. They can't even advance any further, because they just aren't thankful for anything almost with their current life.
Yeah. So, I mean, attitude of gratitude will change your life. And if you're not thankful for people on a regular basis, because if you look for it, people are doing shit for you every day. You know, there's parents, there's siblings, there's bosses, there's coworkers, there's kids. There's people that if you can't find an honest reason to be thankful and grateful for things, then yeah, I mean, you're not going to have a good mindset going through the day. And so, you know, I think it's so important not only to have the attitude of gratitude and to realize that and appreciate that, but to reach out and let those people know. Because it means a ton, you know? And I mean, we swap texts every once in a while, and I do with every doc in the company of just like, you know, hey, thanks. And some send texts to me weekly and monthly for sure of like, hey, just really appreciate, wanted to send you a thank you, I was thinking about you today. It's contagious. It feels good when you get a text like that. It's amazing. And when you send a text like that, your mindset is in what's right in your life. Who is doing great things? Who's important? It's not on why I'm not successful. Who's trying to screw me? Who I don't like? You focus on that shit, you bring more of that in. You focus on who's there to help you and what's going good, you bring more of that in. So I think that people, they way underestimate how big this is.
Rebecca and I started, gosh, probably 2 years ago, I'm guessing. At least three, four, sometimes every night of the week when we sit down for dinner with our kids, we start the meal off holding hands and we say what we're thankful for that day. And at the first start, I remember the kids are like, what the hell, dad, come on, this is boring, dad. But now that you're seeing them start to even look forward to it, even at the age of 10, 8, 4, where they have to say something every night that they're grateful for. And it's funny to hear, you know, they're thankful for very simple things like an apple at lunch, or we're thankful for our puppy dog. But it's starting to get more creative, especially my 10-year-old, where he is really thinking like, what was good today? What was really positive today? Yep. And God, I want to instill that in them so they use that through their adult years. And it doesn't take as long as it took me to learn that to really be thankful.
Well, because I mean, especially in, say in a 10-year-old, and then of course up through your teenage years, which is tough as hell. You know, the kids go through it. It's tough. It's tougher than ever now. So, I mean, it's, if you start to get them, as opposed to being like, I hate school, I hate homework, I don't like this test, I don't, you know, the football team was tough or whatever it is. And they start to focus on little small great things. And even like you said, like, man, I'm happy, you know, thankful for a healthy family. I'm thankful for a beautiful home. Thank you. Thankful for my grandma and grandpa, whatever they are. Even them, they're getting into the right mindset of what is good in life. And it has nothing, I mean, material things are great. People can be thankful for something that's super nice. But all in all, what you're going to find when you really look deep, it's not material things that you're thankful for. Right. It's always family and friends and opportunities and trips and experiences that you become thankful for. It's very rarely, I'm really thankful for those Joe's jeans. You know, I mean, no one really does that. It's nice to have them. They're good jeans, whatever. And maybe that makes it on your list for a day. But when people start to really reflect, it's always things at core that are really important that they're thankful for.
I've started to notice even my 10-year-old with his brain power being a little stronger every year and year. He starts to pay attention to Rebecca and I say. The other day he's like, Dad, I want to have a cool job like yours. I'm like, what do you mean, bud? He's like, well, I've heard you and mom say that you're thankful for the people you work with, or you're thankful for the job you get to do. So it's already starting to take hold on him where he's hearing that. I want to have something that I'm thankful for that I'm going to go do every day if that's going to be my job. And you're already hearing him start to pick that up. And that's exactly what I'm trying to instill.
Well, no doubt that we love what we do. And so we say that all the time, but it couldn't be more truthful that, you know, it is. It's when you spend a lot of time at work, and I do because I love what I do, but I mean, you know, you want to enjoy that. And we never dread coming in. I mean, last night we were heading, we hung out for a while after work, and you know, we share a bottle of Cardinal and we hang out and celebrate gratitude for all the people that were fantastic in our company and all the great things they're doing.
Back here at 7:45 this morning.
Yeah. And excited to hit it again, because I mean, you love what you do. You're thankful for that opportunity and you want to make it even better every day. So one thing and this kind of takes it to the next one, but I mean, when I did a talk with our group at this last tribe, I talked a little bit about what I called the private jet mindset. And, you know, recently Vanessa and you were blessed to do this too, but my wife planned for my 50th birthday.
50.
Got scary to say, but, you know, so she got a private jet and it was a surprise for us. And you guys, of course, and some of our dear friends from across the country were at the jet. But I mean, it's an experience that's different. And here's me, because people have their different things. And we said that we still work through it. Here's what I used to work through, because we travel to beautiful places. And I'm very fortunate to have a very blessed life on many levels. But, you know, even when I would fly into Cabo, or I would fly into Miami, or fly into Napa, into the airport, you see those private jets off to the side. And like in Cabo, there'll be hundreds of them. Vegas, there's hundreds and hundreds of them. And so you start to think like, oh my God, like who flies that in here and things like that. But then you start to realize, when we got an opportunity to do one, A, you drive up to the airport, you tell the person the tail number, they open the gate, you drive up to the runway, on the runway to the plane, the pilots greet you, their staff loads your stuff out of your car into the plane, You jump up, the pilot makes you a cocktail or an espresso or whatever is your, you know, desire that day. And then you take off 5-10 minutes later. There's no security.
Yeah.
There's no watch this video. You don't even have to wear a damn mask. They don't care. It's just like, enjoy your flight. So instead of something becoming a 6-hour ordeal, I mean, we went to Napa for my birthday party in that jet. And that was 2 hours after we left our home. I was at a winery tasting wine.
Right.
As opposed to 2 hours before, fly to San Francisco, rent a car, drive. Mm-hmm. You waste a whole day. Now, it's roughly $22,000 for a jet round trip to Napa going back and forth. So most people are like, geez, no way. When you start to realize and you accept a flight is going to be $22,000 if I want to do it now. That's what it's going to cost for me and my friends to go. And if you divide it up, it's still expensive.
Yeah, there's eight of us or something.
Right. Like, yeah. So then it becomes $3,500 or whatever. But you start to realize, is that worth it? And is that something that I am going to bring into my life? And so the question I was asking, because you could take a bus for $60. You could take the cheapest flight you find, and you'd probably lay over in Salt Lake, then fly to San Francisco. And, you know, so then it's a 10-hour thing. You could fly first class for like $1,200. You know, the coach is like $300. You could rent a jet for $22,000 with you and your friends and have more of the trip that we had. Or you could buy the jet for that specific jet is about $9 million. And so you start to look at what's possible. But if you find yourself saying that's for other people, I can't imagine how that would be. That's not for our type person. Then you don't really have the entrepreneur mindset of like, I got to make that shit happen. And you start to realize like I'm one of those people. I want to be one of those hundreds of jets that's on that runway, because that's a different lifestyle that I think I absolutely deserve to have, where most people just write that off completely. So I think it's important. Everyone has their number. You know, and it could be like, I could never afford first class, or I could never afford to make 2 family vacations a year. Or for some, it's I could never afford a private jet, right? But you find where you start to say, that's not for me, and then reflect. And is it not for you because you're not the type of person that could ever afford that, which is bad, work on that. If it's not for you because you're like, I honestly don't give a shit, right? You know, so there's watches that are $500,000. For me, I honestly don't give a shit. Like, give me a really nice, beautiful watch that I feel good about, 5, 10, 25,000, whatever. Those are numbers I think is realistic. I don't ever want to spend $500,000 on a watch. Now, maybe that'll change someday. Maybe it won't. But I'm not jealous when I walk by those jewelry stores and be like, oh, I need to get that. When I go by an airport, I say, man, those people had a way better flight than me, and I want to make that happen. You know, so I think you have to look at, what is your number? What are you saying no to because you think you can't afford it?
I've started to also put time into that equation, Jay.
Big time.
Because the flight's a good example, I guess, of this, maybe the best. Yeah. How long it takes you to get up, I got to catch my Uber, head down to the airport 2 hours early, check my bag, get through security. By the time you get on the plane, get out there, back through security, everything, it's probably like 8-9 hours.
Yep.
Like you said, it's 2 hours.
It's a day of your day vacation.
Travel, right? Yep. You said a couple hours and you're already up in the vineyards tasting wine. Yep. So like at some point, and I know what my value is or what I value myself at per hour,
yep.
I would have multiplied that out. I should have flown the flight with you instead of the other one, you know?
Yeah.
And I did.
So. Yeah, exactly. But I think another thing worth asking that ties into this is like, you know, we hear the term 1%, the 1%ers of this world, the 1%ers run everything. They do, you know, all the money, and they make all the money, have all the fun. But it's almost a negative term. When people say it, they're like, yeah, it's for the 1%ers or those damn 1%ers. Like they why is that negative that these are such highly successful people? Because if we get that in our mind and we talk back about like what's ingrained in your brain, those are negative people. They're greedy. It's all about money for them. Like maybe it's not.
Right.
Like, and maybe it is. Maybe there's hedge fund managers that are like, yeah, they're pieces of shit. But I tell you what, there's people that make $0 that are also pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And so then you start to look at what does a 1%er look like? Well, I think last year to be a 1%er, you had to make $460,000 a year. Okay, so we all picture Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, like we picture the 1/1,000,000th of 1%.
Right.
But there's a lot of hardworking docs, lawyers, business owners, entrepreneurs, et cetera, that are 1%ers that are out there raising families, kicking ass, building the community. So how you feel about people that are making more money than you is also a reflection of how you look into money, I think.
Speaking of the one percenters, one thing that I've seen with them, and I'm going to have you mention the show you told me about in a second, that they always seem to have this uncanny ability to get right back to that 1% if they've had any hardships, bankruptcies, challenges, because they go through the same shit we do in different levels.
Mindset.
What's the show you're telling me about?
Undercover Billionaire.
Undercover Billionaire. Yep. So this show, well, you tell, I haven't seen the damn thing yet, but I know what you're talking about. Tell me that show.
Essentially the premise, this is season two and you should absolutely watch this. And I know a lot of you already do, but you essentially take, in this case, they take three people and they're all highly successful. One's like a music producer. One is Grant Cardone. The other lady is like a home designer, builder, real estate mogul, who's actually from Southern California. And they essentially say, okay, you're going to come on board. And they have these famous names, right? I mean, they can do so much in their life. But they take these people and they give them $100 and a decent truck, like a, you know, a 12-year-old Avalanche or a Jeep Cherokee or something. So nothing great, but it's, you know, it
gets somewhere, right? Yeah.
One guy got, I think Grant Cardone got a Suburban or something. So they take them, $100, you get this car, and you have a fake alias. So you can't use your name, your contacts. They give them a new cell phone that has none of their contacts in it, right? So they can't call, they can call their family and check in and stuff just because that's what people want to do. But, and then they pick a city. So the cities in season two are Fresno, California, Tacoma, Washington, and Pueblo, Colorado. Grant Cardone gets dropped in Pueblo, Colorado. Here's $100. Here's a 1996 Suburban. You have to build $1 million net worth company in 90 days. Now, most people are like, it's impossible. Like, how would you do that with $100? Like, they don't have a place to live. They don't know a damn person. They don't have a job. Like, the first night, they're sleeping in the car if they don't get a place. And so as you watch these people, you start to see how a mindset works when it's about speed and what they can do. It's truly incredible, like you said. People that have the money mindset will find a way no matter what.
Right.
And people that don't probably will find a way to not do it no matter what.
Right. So. I got to watch it. You have me so intrigued. I just find that fascinating that they can do that. It's traits that are ingrained in them. It has nothing to do with their circumstances necessarily. They got $100 in a 12-year-old Suburban.
and we know this to be true. We see all the time. Like, right. Oh, that lotto winner now is broke.
True.
Yeah. So like it works the other way. So if you have a broke mindset, give a broke person $10 million, and probably in 5 years they're broke, you know. And I mean, it's easy to see when people repeat these bad behaviors that absolutely crush them or always bring them success at a different level. And by the way, it's not always money, it's relationship, it's right. Your love life, it's your right. Physical fitness, it's all this is a mindset and a belief in yourself on all the things that we talked about.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. This applies in so many places, not just money. I know we're talking financial stuff today a little bit, but
yeah, well, I mean,
any aspect.
Yeah, entrepreneurs want to talk money, but at the same time, like if you see you repeating bad habits in a relationship all the time,
yeah,
you have to look at behaviors that were stored into you as well. And I'm not a psychologist, but I mean, most people grew up in a tough home or their parents got divorced or like, what have you heard in the past that makes you think like someone's getting ready to hurt you? Versus accepting like, you know, I'm going to open up my heart and be vulnerable and be ready for this next relationship. So,
wow, you're getting deep now.
So, and we'll talk about love on the next episode. So
love, that's my baby. Thing.
But anyway, so are we out of time?
Is that, it's just like that.
Yeah. I mean, I even have like another six things written down on this, but the important thing is to realize patterns that are holding you back. Right. And I think that your mindset, when people say it's between your ears, it's your mindset. Realize it's really patterns that you've instilled into your brain of what money represents or what you know relationship represents or what health represents that are really holding you back. And then it doesn't matter what podcast, what book doesn't matter if you listen to something and you don't believe it. You may even get fired up for a weekend, but then you go home and repeat the same shit. Mm-hmm. And so you got to realize if you don't get to the core of the problem, you're never going to be able to achieve what you need to, no matter what you're addressing it with.
So you stole my final point because I couldn't agree more. Recognition. Recognition is the big thing. So I'll step back on point. I think it was number two or whatever. Gratefulness. That was a big one for me too. Of appreciating where you are, understanding things you need to work on, but appreciating where you are because you're not even going to get down the path any further if you don't even start being thankful for where you're at currently. So that'd be my takeaway for you guys on this one.
Yeah. So take home. I mean, gratitude is easy. Every day for the next 30 days
of all of these
say something. Yeah. Hey, I'm really thankful for blank.
Yeah.
Right. And reach out and you'll find that just becomes contagious and you put good stuff out, it comes back to you. I think the other thing is look deep at patterns.
Yep.
One is notice them when they come out of your mouth, but two, you could just sit down and be like, okay, I know this has been holding me back, and then get to work on how do I fix that? You know, and I think sometimes it's easier than people think to turn shit around like on immediately. Yep. And get the ship head in the right direction. So awesome show. We'll have Chelsea back next time. We of course miss her interpretation and organization of what right. we're saying. She used to put things together, but we'll have her back next week. In other words, live in a world of gratitude and realize what's possible, because you can achieve anything you want to. Peace out.